We want people to start financial planning as soon as possible. The key thing for, particularly for women, is that they are delaying first talking to an advisor, you know, until their 40s or 50s. And, you know, they're first talking with an advisor at a lower rate than men.
If you're trying to build up a woman's confidence in terms of investing, recognize the fact that knowledge is usually been linked to confidence.
Making women aware of a problem, aware that there are solutions, somebody who wants more information, to make it easier for her to access that information is a great opportunity.
Welcome to the Bright House Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients. Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals. In this episode on women in retirement, our insights panelists talk to us about what financial professionals need to understand about how prepared women are for their retirements. Data shows that women retire earlier than men do and have less saved than their male counterparts. In our discussion, we asked our insights panelists about what contributes to these financial situations and the financial professional's role in helping women prepare for successful retirements. Speaking to us in this episode, previously published in September 2019, are Maddie Dykewald, aging and longevity expert and co-founder of AgeWave, J. Michael Collins, financial capability expert and faculty director of the Center for Financial Security at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Marty Barletta, marketing expert and consultant. First, we spoke to Maddie about how women's life trajectories impact their retirement needs.
Let's explore that women's life journey. They have more education than they've ever had before. And by the way, they enter that first adult life stage, early adulthood, with that additional education, and it boosts their career options. However, it does have financial consequences. First, they are responsible for 64% of all student debt. And we know it's really hard to save if you're dealing with debt. Second, they're entering the workforce potentially a little bit later than men because they're getting that extra education. But that's just the beginning. Let's look at a few other life stages. Let's look at parenting. Let's look at caregiving. Let's look at caring for a spouse. These are all times where a woman is likely to take some time off from the workforce. Now, not all women do it, but many women do. 80% of all women do have children, and on average, they have two children. From a financial perspective, it takes its toll. If a woman takes off time to care for their child or for her children, she's got some financial implications to deal with. It may affect her career trajectory. Two-thirds of all caregiving activities are done by women, and because women tend to marry men a few years older than them, and women outlive men, what we know is that women oftentimes are the ones providing some care for their husbands at the end of their lives. It does have financial consequences, especially if during the time they're caring for their husband, they need to maybe deplete their nest egg a little bit so that the woman actually ends up with even less money to live solo the rest of her life.
Do you think that the financial services sector has done a good job catering to women's retirement needs?
The industry itself is really based on men's life expectancy, men's life journey, their salaries, their income. You know, it's focused on them because historically men were the ones making the big financial decisions, but that's not the case anymore. Let me give you a great example of one way that it could change. Let's look at retirement calculators. Retirement calculators are out there. Almost every single financial services company has one online. However, none of them And we looked at all of them as part of our research that we recently did on women and money. And what we discovered is not one retirement calculator considered career interruptions as part of their calculations. And we know women are far more likely than men to have these career interruptions. In fact, on average, a woman spends 44% of her adult life out of the workforce, while a man spends only about 28%. So this is a big deal. You take all these points and you put them together, and it's no surprise that women are underserved clientele for advisors.
If women want to gain more knowledge about finances, how do you think that advisors can help them?
So if you're trying to build up a woman's confidence in terms of investing, recognize the fact that knowledge is usually been linked to confidence. Create a little bit more knowledge in somebody's mind, and then suddenly they feel the confidence to do things like investing. So if you can create a safe environment to raise their level of education, no matter what it might be, because obviously many women are at different levels of knowledge when it comes to finance, different levels of sophistication. So make it very palatable and manageable without talking down to them. So keep it positive. Create a safe environment to raise that level of education and become a trusted source for not just education, but for information. Become that go-to person that a woman really can count on. There's more, though. I would say second, make an effort to understand women's life journeys, what their priorities are, what their values and goals. Don't just focus on numbers. Get to the things that really matter to them. And third, initiate conversations so that women begin to think about and plan for whatever financial challenges that may be in front of them.
That was Maddie on building confidence through education. Next, we wanted to know whether women have similar formal retirement plans in place as men do. So I spoke to financial capability expert J. Michael Collins.
So many women have retirement assets in their own name, whether it's a 401k or a similar account. You know, those accounts might be spread across multiple employers. They might be, some of them might be smaller, some of them might be larger. So it's, you know, a sort of a mishmash. We see that for men too, but oftentimes there's, you know, more moving around and some smaller accounts to try to deal with. I think the issue isn't necessarily that they don't have any accounts, is that they don't really have a plan around the accounts that they have. And whereas men are a little bit more likely, especially at younger ages, to have an advisor in place, but especially for single women, with, you know, a slower rate of adoption means they're not working with advisor, not making a retirement plan until a little bit later in life, which, you know, sort of creates more pressure to get a plan in place and to try to be able to have enough saved up for retirement. You combine that with lower risk tolerance and some other things, really women should be working with an advisor or creating a financial plan earlier than men. And that's kind of the opposite of what we see in the data.
What are some concerns that women have around retirement?
In surveys, when we ask people about retirement and the worries that they have or the insecurities they have financially as they approach retirement, obviously a lot of people say they're afraid that they don't have enough saved and they're afraid that they're going to run out of money, that they're going to live longer than they think or not be able to support the kind of lifestyle that they'd like to have as they enter into their retirement years. Women are more likely to be concerned or worried about not having enough money as they age, and especially as they become widows, because many will outlive their husband and sort of be the sole decision maker, the sole manager of whatever assets are left. And, you know, if women by 2030 are living to the age of 88, that's a long time to be managing assets. And, you know, for 8 out of 10 women, they will be the sole financial manager at the end of their life.
How do you think advisors can help women allay their fears?
Yeah, as advisor working with women, especially thinking about retirement issues and what life's going to look like in retirement, women are worried about their money not lasting long enough, and they're worried about losing their spouse. I think that's partly what a financial advisor brings to the table, is being able to have a conversation about those worries and coming up with a plan that makes sure there's enough assets and enough income so that even if a woman does need to be the sole responsibility for the finances as the, you know, the survivor of a relationship, that at least the money side isn't something that she has to worry about.
When should advisors start talking to women about retirement?
We oftentimes get the question as academics, what's the right age to start financial planning? And, you know, the answer is always yesterday, that we want us to, we want people to start financial planning as soon as possible. The key thing for, you know, particularly for women is that they are delaying first talking to an advisor, you know, until their 40s or 50s. And, you know, they're first talking with an advisor at a lower rate than men. So trying to encourage talking to an advisor, you know, after that first retirement account is building up a little bit of value, after they're starting to think about things like how to sort of take care of any risks they might be facing in terms of the death of a spouse or trying to manage other kinds of risks that they might be facing in terms of their long-term care or other kinds of issues. I mean, those are the kinds of things that are going to kind of get women more engaged. It's how do these financial choices that I'm making now help me to think about my career goals, my life goals, the other goals that I have. The finances are really a means to an end. And so, you know, even people in their 30s are beginning to think a little bit about what life might be like in retirement. They might not have a good sense of what that looks like yet, but they might have a sense of, well, you know, I think I could work till I'm 70. Or they might think, no, I think I'd really like to be done sooner than that. And so that's a good time to start having that conversation about what is it that you want to achieve and what kinds of financial choices can you make now to achieve it.
That was Michael on having conversations about retirement as early as possible. Finally, we spoke with marketing consultant Marty Barletta on how financial professionals can communicate effectively with women as they plan their retirements.
I counsel financial advisors to do something that is called empathetic listening. And it's more than active listening. Active listening is where somebody tells you something and you play back the content of what they have told you. Okay, so it sounds like you have a special needs sister. You expect that your parents are going to need some financial help in their later years. And your family, these are the key considerations. That's active listening. Playing back the content. With women, your big opportunity is empathetic listening. And that means playing back that you understand how she feels about it, not just the content. When you can say something like that to a woman prospect or client, she can relax because she knows now that you have listened and understood her.
Do you think that there are behavioral changes that advisors can make to have more productive meetings with their female clients?
We're taught in our culture that nodding means yes. And so he may be saying, you know, and there's this advantage, and we looked at all these different opportunities, and I feel like this is the right way to go. And then, you know, she hasn't said anything, and she's been nodding along, and he might, and he's like, well, it looks like you're on board. Should we go ahead and do this then? And she'll say, no, I don't think this is the right answer for me. And he's mystified. What do you mean? He doesn't say this, but in his mind, he's thinking, wow, you've been just sitting there nodding and nodding and nodding. And I thought you were on board and you're not. What happened? And the reason that she's nodding is actually women do that as a form of feedback. I'm listening. Keep going. Okay, keep going. I gotcha. I'm following. When she stops nodding, she has decided she has something to say. And that is an active signal, ask me for my opinion. And men miss it all the time. I can't tell you how many women I've heard this from.
Are there other nonverbal cues that advisors need to pay attention to?
Women look into each other's faces a lot more. That's one of the reasons that women tend to look into their conversation partner's face a lot, almost exclusively. And men don't find that sustained direct gaze as comfortable as women do. Women are looking at the other person's face because, and research has confirmed this many, many times, they are more adept at reading faces than men are. So you can show the test, there's a test they use where they just show a strip of photo from that just shows the eyes. And women are much more adept at recognizing this person's angry, this person's surprised, this person's happy. Men might look down at their notes more. Now, these are very tiny things that if male financial advisors were aware of these things, paid attention to them, and consciously made sure they changed these little things that are all about listening and about acknowledging and about understanding and about keeping the focus on her, they can be probably 100% more effective with the women prospects and clients that they're working with.
What are some other tools that advisors can use to communicate with women about their retirement options?
I don't see a lot of financial advisors offering webinars to their clients or to the public. They tend to prefer the face-to-face approach, and there's no doubt about it. The face-to-face approach is certainly better for building rapport. But what I'm trying to say is that content marketing, making women aware of a problem, aware that there are solutions, somebody who wants more information, to make it easier for her to access that information, which webinars do compared to her having to go somewhere to an event, is a great opportunity. So frankly, I would take the opportunity to distribute to webinars on, what would you do if one of you couldn't work anymore? Another webinar, what solutions are there for families planning for special needs members of their families? How can you provide for aging parents as well as for yourselves? So distributing that content information via the easiest to access channel. And most people are familiar with webinars these days, so that's a great channel to reach women.
That was Marty on content marketing as a way to communicate and provide solutions to some of women's financial problems. Thanks to Marty, Michael, and Maddie for their insights. And don't forget to join us on the next episode of the Insights Panel podcast, when our experts discuss how to coach women during financial storms. You can find more episodes of the Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Bright House Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Bright House Financial Incorporated, that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Bright House Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only, by Bright House Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts. For financial professional use only, not for public distribution. In these podcasts, the term advisor and financial advisor are used as general references to licensed insurance professionals and are not intended to indicate whether the licensed insurance professional is a registered investment advisor or is otherwise authorized under the law to provide financial advice.